May the Lord be pleased to bless us this evening as we consider his word. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and we'll read verses 31 and 32. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and reading verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, and he speaks to Simon Peter, but yet we realize that it is also really addressed to the whole Church of God, because the word tells us the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desires to have you. And that you in the Greek is plural, it's not singular. And therefore it does not just refer to Simon. Indeed, it would have referred directly to all the disciples that were there at that time. And surely it is directed therefore to the whole Church of God. Because how true it is that our adversary the devil, he desires to have us, and he's well skilled in the traps that he sets for the people of God to try and overcome them. We only have to look back through the Word of God and to see how he has cunningly come and caused havoc. We go back, don't we, to the beginning in Genesis when by those lies that he told to Eve, she was taken in by them and listened to what he said, and what a tragic outcome there was because of that original sin which passed upon all mankind. And it was because of the influence of this great evil adversary, the devil, Satan. Now we should not think that because Satan achieved, as it were, that victory, that he has given up. In fact, we know how hard he tries, and we know as we think of the account even of Peter, Simon Peter, having been spoken to in this way, warned in this way, yet it was but a short time, just a few hours, when left to the temptation of Satan, he denied his Lord and Master those three times. So we should never assume that we are able to cope with the tests of Satan. Be very sure that we will not be able to cope with the tests of Satan. And that's why, no doubt, the Apostle Peter wrote those wonderful words, kept by the power of God. We are only kept by the power of God. And I believe that the Church of God, the children of God, have those evidences in their lives when, amazingly, God has kept them. There's been temptations. There's been situations which have developed. And the Lord, as it were, stood between. And the Lord has delivered. And the Lord has saved. And we give thanks to our God for such occasions. And to be able to record that we do have a God who is able and willing to save to the uttermost, to come where we are, to meet with us, and to bless us and strengthen us. And so to be able to record, yes, by the grace of God I have been kept, not because of our own will, not because of our own nature, but because of the grace of our God. Now the Lord speaks here and says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. It's a very clear statement here that he was told to behold, to look, to see. And my friends, it's good for you and I if we're aware, if we're on the lookout for the devil. Those words that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples in that what we know as the Lord's Prayer: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those are very glorious words, and they are words which we should never forget. How we need to pray those often, that we might not be led into temptation and that we might be delivered from evil. Because the devil is very keen to lead us into temptation, to bring us into those situations which appeal to our nature. Now, we're all different. Some things might appeal to me that would not appeal to you. And some things which might appeal to you would not appeal to me. But we are to be watchful. We are to behold that Satan is on the lookout for an opportunity to come and to cause us to fall, to cause us to sin. He's ever on the lookout. He's ever alert. And we therefore need also that grace to behold and to be alert likewise, to be able to observe when we are being sidetracked, we're being led astray, we're being led away from the truth, we're being led away from those things which are pure and holy. The devil's aim is to blind our eyes. He attracts us on the one hand and desires to blind our eyes on the other. And it may be that we come into situations which are exceedingly trying. You remember Job. The Lord allows Satan to go to great extremes, but he wasn't allowed to touch his life. And sometimes we may feel that the devil's been allowed to go to great extremes with us. Well, I doubt whether any of us will ever have to go as far as Job did. And we have that as a great and glorious example for us to think about. But Job was greatly tempted, yes, to give up everything. Everything seemed against him. And there was a great temptation, therefore, to give up everything. His wife encouraged him to do just that. Well, we have to be very aware, do we not, today? And we're thankful, therefore, that we have here a warning sound. It's a trumpet sounding forth to warn us today in our life, as now it's our turn to walk upon this earth, to realize that the words are true. Behold, Satan hath desires to have you. And he's always desired, and he continues to desire. He'll never give up until we're out of his reach in glory. He cannot reach anyone in glory, and we can bless God for that. But while we're on this earth, we will face much temptation, and let us not forget how the Lord Jesus Christ himself was tempted, led up into the wilderness and tempted of the devil. My friends, the devil used all his power to tempt the Saviour. And we have the example of the Saviour, how he responded. He responded in the words of Scripture. And as you and I may be tempted, perhaps, in a certain way, in a certain situation, it would be good if you and I are sufficiently versed in the Word of God that we are able to quote the Word of God to the devil, because he will not be able to stand against it. And we know, although he tried, he did not prevail. And may we therefore be encouraged in our life as we may be tempted, perhaps, to come and think like this: well, what does the Word of God say? Does the Word of God encourage me in a certain course? Or does the Word of God warn me against a certain course? We mustn't rely on our own reason. Our reason is faulty, our reason is often sinful. But the Word of God is not faulty. And we will not fail if we refer to the Word of God to come to the right decision. And I believe through that we shall be able to overcome. It's like that we shall be able to resist the devil, and he will flee from us as God gives us that grace to quote the Word of God to Satan himself. But as we may, by God's grace, overcome one difficulty, and we might be able to thank God, and I believe truthfully, when the Lord does deliver, and we recognise it, we're able to thank God that we didn't fall into that situation, that temptation that was put before us. And don't forget, we still possess our old flesh. Our old flesh is sinful. We still like to indulge in sinful things. Oh, bless God for that new nature. And if we have that new nature, then which truly seeks after holiness, then as we are delivered out of temptation. And you see, the Lord does know how to deliver us out of temptation. And as we are delivered out of those temptations, then I believe there will be that, perhaps we could say, relief in our heart. But when the battle's been won, when we've been able to overcome, the Lord's helped us, given us strength to turn away from a temptation, there is that relief and thankfulness in our heart to the Lord. Satan hath desired to have you, and so he has, and so he will. Let's ever remember that. Let's ever be on our watch against all the snares and temptations. And he's very insidious in the way that he tempts us. He's very clever. He's very clever to lead us perhaps in a way which on the surface initially may seem to be very harmless. But you know, we can enter in and we can become entangled. What on the surface appears to be quite legitimate, but if we haven't actually examined it in the light of God's word, we can very easily find that it was not so legitimate as we initially considered. And we had to prove, perhaps very painfully, as we might have come entangled in the snares that the devil sets for us. And it's not so easy to retrace our steps. It's not so easy to untangle ourselves from a situation which we have become entangled in. Satan had desired to have you. And the Lord then illustrates that in this picture, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, in a sifting process, there's really no time of peace or stillness, but there's a constant motion there's agitation. Indeed, in a sifting, the sieve is agitated all the time to make it work. And that's really the picture here, that the devil will agitate us. He'll keep up the motion in our lives, as it were, to try and wear us down, tire us out by his continual agitation, continually bringing a situation before our mind, or perhaps before our eyes. And we find, there it is again. Oh, the devil's still at it. My friends, he is still at it. He desires to have possession of us so that he may grasp us and agitate us to such an extent that we are willing to at last listen to his temptations and enter into it. That's the way that he desires to operate. And we may think sometimes that he's going about, which he does, as an angel of light. And he agitates us in that way, saying, well, look, this must be all right. There's no problem in it. There's really no harm in it. And you can carry on doing this, and you won't find any ill from it. And he keeps on bringing that before us. And if we're not careful, we find we're weakened under his temptations. Now the Lord's warning us here. He's giving us the situation. He's telling us, behold, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That's his aim and that's his desire. And the Lord tells us here very plainly, in simple words, that this is so. And that applies to us all. Don't think you're exempt. And don't ever think that under such a temptation you would be able to resist the devil. Left yourself, you cannot. It's only by the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now the Lord goes on, and he tells Simon, but I have prayed for thee. This was a personal statement. I have prayed for thee. And it's a wonderful blessing if we have the evidence that the Lord God has prayed for us. The Lord says, I pray not for the world. I pray for those whom the Father has given him. Be a great blessing for us tonight if we have the evidence in our hearts that the Lord has prayed for us. And that's a tremendous truth, a wonderful consideration to think that the Creator of everything, the Almighty God, who holds our breath in his hand, who knows every detail of our life, this great God prays for us. I, the blessed Lord, have prayed for thee. Pray for thee, that thy faith fail not. Now, we might say, well, but Peter fell. But Peter sinned. Well, he did. But his faith didn't fail. And sometimes the Lord allows us to fall, to show us, to prove to us our weakness, to prove to us that we're not as strong as we thought we were. Peter thought he was strong. He thought he would be able to stand. In actual fact, he said he laid down his life for the Lord. And yet, faced with a question from just the servant, he denies his Lord and Master. But his faith did not fail. And so we read these words, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And our faith will not fail if the Lord has prayed for us. Because the Lord prays for his people. He prays for them individually. And as he prays for them, then you see that faith cannot fail. Because that which the Lord says and does cannot fail. And may we therefore tonight have that confidence to believe. But if we have a hope in the mercy of the Lord, if the Lord is directing us tonight to such a consideration as this, to think about the temptations of Satan, it is because the Lord is bringing that before our mind. It is because the Lord is producing that concern in our hearts that we might not fall, that we might be aware of the devil's temptations and all his cunningness in our life. And then to be so thankful that the great Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for us. And then I believe the wonderful benefit and influence will be this, as we then consider perhaps those things that we read together, even in this chapter. We think of the Lord Jesus himself there, when he had spoken to his disciples, preached that glorious sermon, and gone out over the brook Kidron and gone into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there we just have a little sight of the cost of our salvation. We just have a little view of what it meant to the Saviour to have to endure all our sins. Those sins which the Lord is warning us against. He's warning us. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And then we see how the Lord Jesus suffered on our behalf because of our sin. If there had been no sin, there would be no need of a suffering Saviour. But because there was sin, because there is sin, there is a need for a suffering Saviour. And it is important that you and I have some little view of the value of our salvation. I believe as we have a little view of the cost of our salvation, it will influence our lives as we come into these times of temptation. If we are given that grace to consider him, oh then, to consider him suffering for us, it may indeed be that which hindereth us from following that course of sinfulness. The Lord Jesus then, in that garden, he prayed saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Never forget, the Lord desires to do his Father's will. And may that be instructed to us, and may we desire to do our Father's will. Surely that must mean turning away from sin, desiring truly not to be led into temptation. Truly our desire should be to be more like our Saviour, to be given that grace to truly resist the devil. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And I believe there are those times when we may feel and know the strengthening influence of an angel, of the Saviour himself, by us, strengthening us, helping us. What a great blessing it is to know the Lord by our side. Blessed experience when we feel the Lord with us. And then I believe we can say with the apostle, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It is a wonderful blessing to walk that path. There's a temptation. But the Lord strengthens us to turn away from it. We feel his presence. We realise his help. And then there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. What prayer this was, wasn't it? He prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What a picture we have here of earnest prayer. The prayer of the Saviour. And remember here, not carrying his sins, not burdened with his sins, but burdened with our sins. Every sin. The whole church of God. And here he was, in this agony, praying more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It's a picture which really is almost beyond our comprehension, our imagination. And yet, this is the picture we have of the suffering Saviour before he went into that judgment hall. Here he was in his state already of weakness through the earnestness of his prayer. Oh, my friends, today we think of our prayers. Oh, we must, I'm sure, be ashamed of most of our prayers. But oh, we'll be blessed with true, prevailing prayer to pray earnestly. Remember those words which we often quote, the effectual earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it gives us here a better view, doesn't it, of the earnestness of true prayer, true prevailing prayer. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow and said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Again, what wonderful words they are. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And when that comes into our lives, here we have the remedy. Rise and pray. Rise and pray. Think of those words. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Because although we may be weak in ourselves, we're strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. That's why Satan trembles. Oh, that you and I might be blessed with greater prayer and more prayer, prevailing prayer, earnest prayer. As we see the great example of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. Now you see, it's the faith which God has given. It's that blessed faith which God has given. That faith to believe. That faith to trust in him. And so we have this wonderful truth that the faith will not fail. That God-given faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will not fail. Because the Lord has prayed for us. The Lord has prayed for us. If we are his people and we can be sure that he has prayed for us. And we can bless God that indeed he has indeed prayed for us. As the Lord Jesus prayed to his Father, that wonderful high priestly prayer, when he desired that the Father would glorify the Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He said, I manifested thy name unto the men thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, the Lord says here that those who he prays for, they have been given the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Oh, tonight have we received the words of God, the words that the Lord has given to us. Have we received them? His words to our soul. Have we received them as the word of God? And they have believed that thou didst send me. And then he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Glorified in them. Isn't that a statement, to think that God is glorified in the lives of his people? If we are his children, he's glorified in your life and my life. And surely that is as we are able to be a follower, as we are able to observe and know the truth of these words, that a Satan has desired to have us, that we might be sifted as wheat, and the Lord has prayed for us that our faith fail not. And then he concludes this little statement to the apostle, saying, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, what that means is not an initial conversion. It means that when the apostle had recovered from that time of denying his Lord, then that would be when he was then converted, and then he would be able to strengthen his brethren, be able to point out his failures and point out the mercy and the favour of the Lord toward him. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He wasn't to be silent. He wasn't to just go on his way. No, he was to strengthen his brethren. Having come through that trial, great trial as it was, to then strengthen his brethren. And surely that is the whole emphasis for us to think upon, that as the Lord brings us out of a trial, when he appears for us, when he strengthens us, when he helps us, we are to strengthen our brethren, to record the Lord's goodness and mercy toward us in all that he's done. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. None are lost. Can we not bless God tonight that none of his children, none for whom Christ died, none for whom Christ agonized, will ever be lost? And so as we think of these things tonight, and if we are given that faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ did suffer for us, then he prayed for us, and we shall never be lost. Never be lost. But we shall be to God's glory forever with the Lord. Well, what a wonderful consideration it is. As we journey on, living a life in this earth, many temptations, we know there will be. The warnings are here. God's gracious admonitions are set before us. Behold, Satan desire to have you. My friends, it's true in our lives. Satan's desire to have us. And he'll pester us. And he'll shake us. And he'll agitate us. We won't find rest in this world. There's a rest that remaineth to the people of God. That rest is to come. During this life, we shall be agitated by the assaults of the devil. But let us look ahead. Let us look forward to the end of the road. Let us look forward to that prize which the Saviour has gained for us. Let us be dependent upon what he has done. Let us look to his finished work. Let us look out of ourselves unto the Saviour. Let us trust in him. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart unto him. The Lord said, it's God speaking. It's not man, it's God speaking. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee. What a mercy. What a blessing. What a wonderful thought, isn't it? The Saviour prays for us. I have prayed for you, for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. A word of exhortation for us, as the Lord blesses us and encourages us to come then and strengthen the brethren, to be able to tell what God has done for us, for his honour and glory. Amen.